So today is the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. You know, this is a relatively new feast established by Pius XI in 1925. It reminds us of the true dominion of Christ. For we believe he is king of all the material and spiritual universe, everything that is known and unknown. And it's a day when the readings focus on the last things, appropriate for the last day of the liturgical year, where next week starts Advent. It focuses on death, judgment, heaven, and hell. It asks us to answer this question honestly: who is really our king? Is it Christ? Or is it our culture? Or is it ourselves? You know, from the first reading, we hear from the prophet Ezekiel, who is God himself, who will come down from heaven to tend personally to his sheep, because the entrusted shepherds have not been found worthy of their charge, for the leaders at this time have become corrupt. God will come to tend to the sick and ailing sheep, but will separate and punish those who have made themselves strong at the expense of the weak. And Matthew's gospel continues and enhances on this theme of goats and sheep, you know, with Jesus' accounts of future certain events. And this series of verses is sometimes referred to as the judgment of nations. And this section has no parallel in any of the other synoptic gospels. It's unique to Matthew. It's Jesus' final discourse in his public ministry. In it, Matthew describes how all humanity will be judged according to God's law. Each person will be distinguished as a sheep or a goat according to a simple standard of practical attention to those who suffer. The suffering is a list that contains six of what we know of the seven corporal works of mercy. To bury the dead is not mentioned. And the standard of judgment is simple enough. Whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did to me. You know, and what is remarkable is that the just in the reading, the righteous in the reading, seem to be unaware that in their life of service to the unfortunate, it was the Lord himself whom they were serving. And I hope we in this assembly are not unaware of this idea, that by serving the least of those we know, we are serving Jesus, our King. And in Paul's letter today, he reminds us that those who belong to Christ will form part of his kingdom. And in this kingdom, all will be subject to Christ, the King, and that God will be all in all. God will be everything. For some of us, this idea of serving a king is different. It's a different, if not difficult, one to grasp. We're individuals who are not used to the idea that we need to bow down to any human being. You know, we as a country fought a war to free us from an earthly kingdom. And if you want to get an idea of how we still resist kingship in political matters, just listen to what happens when a president acts on his own through executive orders. You know, he's accused of acting like a king, and this is considered a bad thing. And it doesn't matter whether you're Donald Trump, President Trump, or President Obama, you get the same grief. But the idea of kingship is not an idea foreign to the Bible. It's a crucial concept in understanding Israel and Christ. The scriptures are full of stories of good and bad kings and the longings for a king that will rule the world according to God's law. Over time, God continually established kings in the Old Testament who he hoped would rule according to his law. And finally, in the New Testament, God establishes Christ as priest, prophet, and king. In the Gospels, what does Christ's kingship look like? He doesn't go to the wealthy and hobnob with them. He goes to the marginalized. He doesn't go to the powerful to make deals. As a matter of fact, from his birth, he is feared by the powerful. He goes to the weak. He doesn't go to the perfect, thank God, or those they think they are. He goes to the sinner. So he models everything the opposite of what we historically think of a king, but models perfectly what God wants kingship to look like. He models what a king ruling according to God's law looks like. So what does this mean for us? As I said before, the name of the solemnity is King of the Universe, that meaning that Christ, once again, has dominion not over a country or over the world, but over all we know and don't know. As children of God, Christ in his threefold office as prophet, priest, and king should mean everything to us. He is our prophet to teach us, our priest to sacrifice for us, to intercede for us, and to bless us, and our king to rule and guide our heart, mind, and action. And if he isn't, that would be something to look at. But as important as that, as important as the interior life that Christ is our king and that we obey him, the other thing is, are we acting as the king's ambassadors? Are we carrying the message? Are we walking the walk? For through us, as practicing Christians, his grace can reach into every corner of the human community and heal it of selfishness, greed, and injustice. You know, I learned a long time ago that my primary job at work was to make my boss look good. It wasn't to make me look good, it was to make him look good. And I think that being a Christian is very similar. Now, it is true that Jesus doesn't need us to make him look good, but we need to act in a way that makes Christianity look good. We should be attracting people to Christianity by showing the love and joy of our God that we have in our hearts, that he is king over our hearts and provides us with joy. Once again, we need to walk the walk. You know, if you want an example of this joy, Google the phrase, every praise. And you'll find an awesome video by Hezekiah Walker. Listen to the song, watch the video, and watch the joy being shared throughout the crowd as they gather. Now, most of us who have represented our boss in meetings know that our next job, and understand, you know, after obeying our boss, is understanding what their desires and priorities are. You know, and being the ambassador of the king is no different. For us as subjects of the king or as children of God, this means that knowing our bosses well and it also means to strive to know them better. And just like at work, we are called to put our king's program into action, one heart at a time. You know, if we're at a loss as to how to do this, we're blessed in our tradition to have plenty of examples of how to live out these teachings in our lives. From our long history of saints to our current examples of those living out the gospel message who are in our parish. For those of us who look only for comfort and consolation from the Word of God, today's combination of liturgical texts can be quite unsettling. What we fail to sometimes understand that all Scripture, and especially in today's gospel, asks us to take this Christian life seriously. For if we claim to be children of God, let us live as children of God. We cannot say we love the Lord and be indifferent to the economic plight of the poor, to not advocate for them or care for them whenever possible. St. Paul reminded us last week that we are children of the light and children of the day. We are not children of night or darkness. Christ the King does not co-opt our freedom or hold us in bondage. Rather, he invites us to celebrate that fullness of being by being who we really are, blessed subjects of the Almighty King of the Universe. And today, as Christ's real presence comes once again to strengthen us in Holy Eucharist, to encourage and enlighten us, let's renew our faith in the great and eternal King. Let's renew our commitment to spread his good news. And as a reminder on what the news is and how to do it, G.K. Chesterton writes, "A messenger does not dream about what his message might be, or argue about what it probably would be. He delivers it as it is, Matthew 25 is a pretty good message. You know, it is simply our job to carry his message in love and care for the poor, the outcast, the stranger, and the sinner to a needy and broken world. Amen?